Hallelujah. I really appreciate Brother Leon. I appreciate him so very much. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here this morning and to minister and to preach the gospel. I never have been in the church here. It's the first time I've ever been here, except, you know, other than last night. And it's the first time I guess I ever saw it was last night. But I'm thankful to be here. I'm real grateful for every one of you, and I'm thankful for our people that are down from Little Bethlehem, especially Brother Arthur that comes so far. Appreciate him so much. Brother Taylor made the statement to receive him as Christ himself. Paul said, "You receive me as Christ," and they did receive Paul as Christ himself, and that was correct that they should do that. That's Bible, and it should be that way because the Bible teaches that it's not us that live, but Christ that liveth within us. The life we now live, we live by the Son of God. And it tells us when the minister is speaking, it is not him that speaketh, but God that speaketh from within him. And so then, if it's God, Brother Leon, all the way in that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then we should receive it as Christ. And as I said, Paul was not in error when he made that statement because he said that God has chosen me to reveal Christ in my life. Therefore, if he has chosen us to reveal Christ in our life, then we come that we might hear and understand and receive Christ. So it is to me, it is a great privilege to speak to God's people. No matter where I go, no matter where I am, you know, in whatever home, I always consider it a great privilege to speak to God's people. A lot of ministers, you know, they don't seem to realize the greatness of what God has done for them to allow them to speak to his people. But a human being is a great thing. You know, an animal is a great thing. How do you know that? An animal is a great thing. See, an animal is a great thing. You can't even make an animal. Science, with all their brilliance, can't even make one little bird. So it's a great thing. But then when you speak of a human being, that's something that's so great and so mighty that anybody that is allowed to speak to them, especially in terms of directing their lives, that is a great privilege, a great privilege. And I consider it a great honor and a great privilege every time I meet a human being and I'm able to look at him, you know, and see him and hear him speak and feel the presence, you know, of life. And then especially to have the opportunity to speak to him, to help mold and to make his life into something for God. I'm very careful about what I say to people. Very careful, because I could have blood on my hands at the judgment. And I know that words are weighty, and words must be placed right. The writer speaks of words that are fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And words that are rightly spoken can build and make a person. And words that are not fitly spoken can destroy a person. Therefore, I'm very conscientious about what I have to say to people. I try to say things that would be constructive. I try not to compromise. Sometimes Paul, you know, in his writing expresses it like this, that we are rude in speech, but not in knowledge. And I say that so often because preachers sometimes are rude in speech. Perhaps Brother Wilson sound rude in speech this morning when he expressed so emphatically that people that do not stand with God will be sorry in the end. But it is true. It might be rude in speech, but it's true. And that's the only way that you can get it over to people. Sometimes, you know, you just have to scream at a person. Like a little child. Sometimes a little child will be getting into danger, and you see them going headlong into danger. And as they continue to go and maybe warn them and tell them not to do it, all of a sudden you just have to scream if you can ever get their attention. And that's what God's trying to do. He's screaming at us because it's a late hour and it's a very dangerous season. So I try to be very careful as to what I say. Sometimes if you get the tapes from Little Bethlehem, they might sound a little bit radical, as the world would say, but I deal a little more freely with my people because they understand me. You know, it's like in the home. You might be a little freer with your own children, and you might say some things to them, you know, that you'd rather the neighbors wouldn't hear. But it's all right if the neighbors hear it, but you'd just rather that the neighbors wouldn't hear it. No, because that's between you and them. And a lot of times the neighbors wouldn't understand that they need scolding a little bit, you know, and they might take the side that's sympathetic. But anyway, it might be a little different. But when I'm away from Bethlehem, I try my best to be very careful as to how that I conduct myself and the words that I express, because I know that there's a great need for the understanding of Christ. I want to read just a little bit in the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like to read from the first verse of the 16th chapter. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seventh angel, "Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." The seventh angel here is the last one that the Bible speaks of that will have a vial filled with the wrath of God, which must be poured out upon the earth. You know, the Bible tells us that we should pray always that we might or may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. See, there's a lot of things that's fixing to come upon this earth. And I don't know about you, but I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to get in touch with God, because I'm no different from anybody else. I have to answer to God just like anybody else. And therefore, I am trying my best, Brother Fred, to get in touch with God, that I might be counted worthy in that hour to escape the wrath of God. It is my desire to escape the wrath of God. I don't know what your desire is, but it is my desire to be able to escape the wrath of God. I want to escape the wrath of God. Now, if you've never read about the wrath of God, you've never took time to study the Bible and really get into the thoughts concerning the wrath of God, perhaps you're not stirred about the wrath of God. But I can assure you that anybody that will take a little bit of time to study the Bible and to try to understand what is about to befall mankind and what is about to befall the people of the earth, I'll promise you that you will want to get in line with God. You'll be concerned about the wrath of God. And I'm greatly concerned about the wrath of God. I'm concerned about humanity, and I'm concerned about what will befall my wife and my children and my loved ones. I'm concerned about what is going to befall the people of the entire world. Now, I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, "I don't get out and pray for people throughout the world." He said, "I pray for you, and I pray for you, but I pray for people throughout the entire world." The Bible said that prayer should be offered for all men, that we should offer prayer for Jimmy Carter, that we should offer prayer for the Queen, that we should offer prayer for the King. All of the great counselors and all the great statesmen, it is my job and your job to offer prayer for them. You know, we feel like, God, who are we that we should pray for the President of the United States? Or who are we that we should pray for the King? But God has commanded us to pray. And Samuel said, "I will not sin against God by failing to pray for the people. I will pray for the people." Now, you might not feel that God is going to look upon you and accept your prayer for a great king or a great leader. You might not feel that way. You might say, "Well, I feel so unworthy that I don't feel that God would do that." But see, God isn't looking at prestige, and God isn't looking at position, because God is the one that lifts up one, and God is the one that puts down another. God is looking for somebody that's got Christ in their heart, and somebody that's just simple and humble and down to earth that God can speak to and that God can use. And this is my desire to be one of those people. I have a desire to be like Jesus. Perhaps I might have, could have been president. Perhaps you might have could have been president. But I see something that's greater than the riches of Egypt. Moses could have been a Pharaoh, but the Bible said he chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season. Hallelujah. The greatest calling that you ever had was when God called you to be a son or a daughter of Christ. That's the greatest calling that ever entered into your life. When God said, come and be my son or my daughter, what greater calling could you have? If I was the son of a president tonight in the world's eyes, I would be something. But being a son of God tonight or today is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I have no desire to change my life to be anything else in the world, because my ambition is to be a son of God. Hallelujah. I want to be a son of God. And I want to be about my Father's business. I want to do what Christ has called me to do. I have an ambition to do what God has called me to do. I'm not interested in getting money. I'm not interested in getting fame. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested in prestige. And when I fast and when I pray, I am not trying to do that to have a great ministry. But I am doing that for one thing, and that is to make my voice to be heard on high. Hallelujah, that when I pray for the sick, they will be healed. That when I ask God to do something for the people, God will hear me and do that thing. Hallelujah. The thing that God was upset with the Jews about in the Old Testament was he said, you do not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So then it is my ambition that my voice be heard on high. I have no personal ambitions, but when I pray for one reason, and when I sacrifice to God as little as it might be, I sacrifice for one reason, and that is to make my voice to be heard by God. I want God to hear my voice. When I pray, I want Christ to hear my voice. If they bring up some person that's sick and I go to pray for them, I don't want to go through a routine. But when I pray, I'm praying sincerely and I'm praying honestly from my heart that God would hear me. And I'm praying that God will heal that individual, because we are not showmen. We are trying to do something for Christ. And if that little fellow that comes before me is hurt or is crippled or something's wrong with him, there is a broken-hearted mother and a broken-hearted dad that would like for God to do something for them. Child. And when I pray for that reason. God, do something sincerely from my heart. I pray, God, do something for that little child. I pray the same way for the grown-ups. I pray the same way for the elders. I pray that God will do something for them. They may have cancer. They may have a heart condition. There might be something that is in their life. They may be under heavy oppression. They may have financial obligations that they can't cope with. There might be troubles that I don't know about, that I'm not acquainted with. But I pray sincerely, God, lift the heavy burden. God, take away the yoke. God, do away with the bondage. Take away the binding. God, let these people live an overcoming life. Father, let them have an opportunity to enter into life and enjoy life. You know, life is a wonderful thing, folks. I know that in the day that we're living in, life is just one great big misery. I realize that. In the day that we're living in, there's so much oppression, there's so much deviation from truth and the right way of life, until it seems like we're just under a great weight all the time, and that life has no meaning. It seems that life is without significance, but I want you to know that life is a great thing. Life is a great thing, and you have opportunity to enter into life. I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, you don't enter into life when you get into the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God, I can tell that Christ is pleased when I talk about Him. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost comes, He will testify a witness of Jesus, Brother Jerry. God will witness by His Spirit of His beloved Son, who is the Word. And it pleases Him when we talk about the Word. All right, now, my thought is, I want to enter into life in its fullness. Hallelujah. I want to enter into life in its fullness. Will you take time to listen at me a few minutes? I'll get a little swallow of this water right here to clear my throat up. And I promise you that unless God gets in it, I won't hold you long. I'll talk to you just a little bit, and then we'll be on our way, and everybody will be happy. All right, now, entering into life in its fullness. I want to say again that I understand as an individual that life is full of complex in the hour we're living in. I know there's nothing but trouble. I guess I know it as good as anybody. And my wife and I have been exposed to a lot of it. But that is not real life. Now, those things are necessary in life. It's necessary that you feel hardship. It's necessary that you become acquainted with the hard ways of life. It's necessary for you to do that. How do you know that it's necessary for you to do that? See, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, why should I do that? Because we have no feeling for the weak until we do that. It was necessary that God come down in a personification as Christ and subject himself to the sufferings of this life that he might feel the infirmities of the weak. We have to come down to these things. We have to feel the sufferings. If we're going to be a good worker for God or a good son of God or a daughter of God or be a light for God, we've got to be subjected to the things of this world in the sufferings and disappointments of life. Every son that cometh to God, God scourgeth him first. He always puts him by this whipping post. He has to be scourged or else he cannot be the right kind of light. So then it is necessary for us to come down our come right down to the lowest levels of life and enter into the lowest places of life and be without food and be without clothing and be without the comforts and convenience of life that we might know how to share, that we might know how to understand others. And then when God lifts us up, we're not haughty, we're not hateful, we're not contrary, we're not conceitful, and we're not selfish. But we are willing to share and we know what to do with our substance. But until we have experienced this, we do not know what to do. We become selfish. We become self-centered. We turn everything toward us. And we do not consider others, nor we do not consider the feelings of others. And this puts us in a bad light with God. Not only does it put us in a bad light with God, that God is not able to bless us in this life, but it also cuts us off from the eternal substance of God. It cuts us off from eternal life. It takes away the blessings beyond the grave that God has for us. It keeps us from entering into the fullness of life that God has ordained for man to have. You know, in this present world, we can have the fullness of life. In this present world, we can enjoy the things of God. When we encounter these hardships, when we encounter these dark, deep places, we can turn and say, God, I thank you for this because I know that this is not the ultimate of your desire, but that this is a process, and God, I'll come out on the other side. Hallelujah. It's like Job said one time, though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and upon this very earth I will stand in the last day in my own flesh, and I shall see God for myself and not another. I like that. Hallelujah. I love to look at him for myself and not another. So then we can have the fullness of life right here. We don't have to be under a bondage to poverty. We don't have to be under a bondage to sickness. We don't have to be molested by the devil. But we can have the fullness of life in this world. God said, I want you to have life. I want you to have a full life. I want you to have the blessings of God. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be strong. How can we serve God unless we are healthy? How can we serve God unless we're strong? How can I serve God if I'm pressed down all the time and have no outlet for me or my abilities that God has placed within my life? Folks, God has put ability in your life. You possess a gift today. You possess some kind of ability. There is an ability in your life that is not in the life of another. Now you say, Brother Pike, I see an ability in your life. But I want you to know that in your own personal life, there is an ability that is not within another life. Hallelujah. How are you listening to me? All right, let's look at it like this. I use this so often in illustration. If you have five children, is every one of those children distinctively different to you? Do they have a very definite and distinctive place in your life apart from the other one? Is there any one of those children that you would like to do without? Would you like to convert one of those children over to be like the other child? Now you say, well, Brother Pike, right there, I would. But let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you just like to see the characteristics of good that's in this child's life be developed in the other one? But you don't want to change his features. You don't want to make him look exactly like that child because you love him as he is. See, something special in your life. And if he was missing, there would be something that would be missing in your life. that precious little face that you never would see anymore. Hallelujah. It would be missing in your life. So then God feels the same way about you and I. We are a special person to God. See, God doesn't want to change you to make you look exactly like Brother Pike. He doesn't want to change you to make you look exactly like somebody else. Why should you admire another person in their image and in their expressions? Why not admire Christ in their life and follow them as they follow Christ and try to develop the characteristics of Christ instead of following after them as far as a natural man? The Bible teaches not to know any man after the flesh. We're not to admire a person after the flesh. We're not to seek a person's favor after the flesh. But what God wants us to do is to admire Christ. Hallelujah. He wants us to admire Christ. And Christ is in our life. Hallelujah. And when we admire Christ in another's life, then we don't know him after the flesh. We are they that put no confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in any living human being on the face of the earth. Nobody. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you have no confidence in your mother, in your dad, in your wife, in your children, in your friends, in your neighbors? I have no confidence in any living human being on the earth. If I put confidence in anybody, it wouldn't matter how close that they are to me, then I would be a willful violator of the Word of God. Perhaps you would not be, because you don't understand the Word of God. But the Bible said we are they that put no confidence in the flesh. There is no chance of being betrayed when you don't put any confidence in the flesh. You understand? Because your confidence is in Christ. Whatever the measure of Christ in a man or woman's life is, you place your confidence in that measure. And therefore you will never be betrayed, because Christ will never betray him. But if you place your confidence in that individual as a woman, or in that individual as a man, or in that individual as a neighbor or a loved one, you will be betrayed. Because Jesus confessed that the flesh is weak. You love the Lord? So then, we can have the fullness of life. God wants you to have the fullness of life. I perceive that there are some here this morning that's not enjoying the fullness of life. David of old said, my cup is running over. I can witness, God be my witness today, that my cup runs over. I enjoy the fullness of life. Amen, I do. You say, Brother Pike, how can you enjoy the fullness of life? Because I stay in touch with God. I stay in touch with God. And when you stay in touch with God, you have a clear conscience. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. And when you strive to keep a conscience void of offense toward man and God, you will have a full, wholesome life. Until you can enter into that place, you will not have a full life. But I can say this morning that I've got a full life. My life is wholesome. I have a burning zeal and a testimony for Christ wherever I go. For years I have preached the gospel. I have had a burning testimony. The flame thereof hath never been quenched. The flame hath never grown dim. The flame hath never gone out. And today it's burning bigger and brighter than ever. Hallelujah. I can hear the cry of the multitudes across the world. I thank God, what a great opportunity this is. For me and for every person that's a son and daughter of God. To go forth and to reap the harvest of Christ. Amen. To tell a sick and a suffering world about Jesus. Amen. And to tell them what they have to do to have the fullness of life. Amen. Jesus said, ask of me the heathens and I will give them to thee for an inheritance. I said, God, give me the heathens. And now we've got 20 to 21 translations around the world. We have our ministry in on over 20 different foreign languages, because I read the scripture where he said, ask of me the heathens and I will give them to thee for an inheritance. And I asked God to give them me for an inheritance, and God has laid them within my hand. Hallelujah. I'm still praying, God, give me the inheritance of the heathens. I'm still asking him to give me the heathens for inheritance. You tell me something. What is a greater inheritance than a human being? Is an automobile greater than a person? Is a diamond greater than a human being? Is money greater than people? Is raiment greater than life? God, give unto me the heathens. Hallelujah. For an inheritance in God. What can these be? The Bible said in that day there will be jewels in your crown of life. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we have eternal life? And how many of you know that in that day, people, that we look and see as we live that great, wonderful, filled up and overflowing life, that those people that we look at will be radiant and outshine the noonday sun? And when we look at them, we will in great admiration behold them and think in our heart, this is my labor. I am responsible for this person. Hallelujah. I am responsible for them having life and for the joy and the jubilance that I see in this person. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you being a radical, you couldn't possibly be. But God said, I will bring up upon the mountain saviors. Saviors. How do you know what I mean when I say saviors? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that I can be a savior. There is but one savior, Jesus Christ. You can be a savior. The Bible speaks of saviors in the plural. And the Bible said, let him know that he that converteth the soul has saved the soul from hell. Despising the garments that spotted with iniquity and sin, pulling them out of the fire. If you convert a soul, you've saved a soul from hell. You've saved a soul from hell. You've become the savior of that person. Is that right? So then we are saviors. But you save one savior, Jesus Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that what you are? Is that what you are? He is the only savior. But we are memberships individually of that one great body, collectively speaking. We are saviors in the earth. Wherever I go as an individual, and whatever I do is my ministry unto salvation. Brother Mitch Hamby, that just come back from Savannah, Georgia, he left the other night to go down there. He is working with us in the translations of foreign outreaches. He went down to Savannah that he might meet different ones coming from abroad, coming from the foreign country. They port there in Savannah. Mitch, he went down that he might talk with them to have a greater outreach in his ministry for Christ. What does that make him? That makes him a savior to those that he can reach. If a man is perishing in a burning house and you get to the man and you pull him out of the house, then are you his savior? Are you his savior? Yeah. Hallelujah. You got to him when nobody else could. You dared to go when nobody else would not dare to go. Hallelujah. You risk your life and went into the flames to bring him out. If it's a little child, then are you his savior? Hallelujah. As long as he sees you, he will always, every time you go by, maybe a tear will trickle down his cheeks, or he will shrug his shoulders and say, there's my Savior. Hallelujah. What causes a man to do that? Jesus. What causes a man to burst forth from among the crowd or to break forth and rush into a burning building to save somebody's life? Isn't it Jesus? What causes a little mother, Brother Leon, to break out of the crowd when nobody else would dare to go? She'll break out of the crowd and burst into flames. Just break right through to get a hold of her little child. People might scream and people might say, no, you'll perish. But she'll break forth and burst through the door and go right straight on into the flames. And people screaming, what causes her to do that? It is because the love is in there for that little one. The love is in there. All she can think about is, my darling is perishing. My little one isn't there. It's better that I die than to see him perish and be without him. That's the attitude of God. If you don't have that kind of instinct, you're not a good mother. If you don't have that kind of feeling about your family, then you're not a good dad. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the fullness of life. We can have the fullness of life. I feel the fullness of life right now. Hallelujah. I feel the mighty power of the Spirit of God as it just surges through my body. Hallelujah. I can feel it as it moves up and down the avenue of my soul. I can feel it as it quickens my thoughts to the things of God. It's in there. It's not make-believe. It's like I've said so many times. It's not a make-believe. If you're living up here in your reasoning, you cannot have what I'm speaking of. You've got to live down here. This is the living room up here. Hallelujah. Is that right? You say, what's this thing up here? That's what you call the den. Amen. That's where the devil's den at. That's where the frolic goes on. The carnal mind's imitative to God. But I'm speaking of the living room.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about where God dwells. Hallelujah. In this heart of mine, I feel the presence of God. I feel Him from the bottom of my soul. I feel God. God is in my life and God is in my heart. And I don't have to make believe. I can be riding down the road and as I'm driving along, all of a sudden, from out of what we would call nowhere, there comes a great presence of a living being. Hallelujah. Have you ever been sitting down at the house and all of a sudden you felt the presence of somebody that would come near? Have you ever done that? You could feel the presence of they come near and you just know that was Brother So-and-so because there's an atmosphere about him. I was shaving one time. I've related this a number of times. I'd like to take a minute to relate it here. I was shaving one time in the restroom there. I was trying to get the beard off, you know, and we lived in a housing project and all of a sudden I felt the presence of something. And I stepped out and I called my wife and I said, you know, I said, Brother So-and-so's looking for me. I said, he's around here somewhere. I said, he's looking for me. Well, just a little while and sure enough, here he come to the door. And he called for me and he said, you know, said, you're hard to find. Said, I just went all over this project here, knocking and ringing the doorbells and trying to find out where he was. But see, I knew that. I felt his presence. See, the Bible teaches that we can feel the presence of spirits. And people are spirits. Now, let's get spiritual just a little while. I've just been exhorting you a little bit, you know. But now we just kind of get a little deeper and get a little deeper and get a little deeper. Now, I don't know how far we'll go. It depends on you. But now, see, we are made to where we can feel the spirits. If you cannot feel spirits, then you're not getting the fullness of life. You've got to be to where you can feel the spirits that are around you. Now, I know that we feel the spirits. I know that. But I'm speaking of feeling the spirits in a way that you can distinguish between one and another. Just to feel spirits is just a great world of conflict and confusion. See, brethren, that's why that you are not getting the fullness of life. You say, Brother Pike, I know that I feel spirits. I know that I feel these presence. I know that you do. But see, that is the early stages of life. That's like a little child. A little child, he knows something is going on. He knows there's heat within the heater. And a lot of times he gets his finger burned because he doesn't understand. See, in this world of infancy, as we pass through it, we run into all kinds of problems because we will not listen to anybody. We will not be under the oversight that God has ordained. And then again, the oversight is so intermingled with the terrors of the world that it's hard for us to get our bearings. Is that right? So in this time of infancy, in God's development, as He looks at us through a long-range plan, a future thing for us, in this time of infancy, we are in a state of confusion. We are going to and fro and we are stumbling here and there. And because of these little things like burning our fingers, like running into the briars as we look for the rose, running into problems here and there, this takes away the fullness of life. See, the little child is happy. He's laughing. He's crawling. He's going. He's having a good time. Then all of a sudden, all of his joy turns into sadness. He burns his little finger. And to him, the whole world has exploded. He doesn't know that that's just a minor thing. He's not old enough for mama or daddy to tell him and make him to understand it. As far as he's concerned, his whole world has blown apart. But to God, it's just a little training program. That's all. Hallelujah. In our infancy, this is what makes life a complex. This is what makes life so bewildering. That little child is so bewildered. He thinks the whole world has come to an end, you know. So then in this little time of infancy, we find ourselves in a conflict. We find ourselves in problems, and we don't know what to do about it. But see, to enter into the fullness of life, the little child must be developed. The life on the inside must be developed. There must come a day when he will understand skill. Like the angel said to Daniel, I've come to give thee skill and knowledge, Daniel. And so there's a time we must come to skill. You understand what I'm saying? One enters into school, he goes to the elementary part of learning, but there is still a greater state of advancement. Is that right? He is going through the stages of life, coming to that greater portion, greater part, to where he can think for himself and not for another. Job said, I myself shall see God and not another. So then we come to the place to where we can think for ourselves. And we are looking for that hour when we can understand. When we can hear God speak to us. Now, it's great to admire somebody to whom God speaks. We're in great admiration of people to whom God speaks. But our desire is for God to tell us something. Is that right? I love to see God speak to you because it thrills my soul. But I love to hear God speak to me. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, God can't do that. He's just got special people. And not according to the Word of God. The Bible teaches according to this Word that God speaks to us and that His sheep know His voice. You understand what I'm saying? So you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, know His voice? God's voice is a knowledge. It is a knowledge. You know, we're listening for some kind of sound, and because we are carnal, we miss the voice of God. But God's voice is a knowledge. It dawns on us. You understand what I'm saying? It dawns on us. I walk out of the shadows into the sunlight, and it dawns on me. Suddenly, the great light of God, I feel the presence of it. The Bible teaches that angels are made ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. As long as I'm in the world of infancy and I do not understand, I feel spirits. I feel presence of people. I feel the presence of angelic beings. But I don't understand. And it is a bewildering thing. It is a complex. It is a situation that I can't understand, and it doesn't bring me happiness. Because one minute I've got faith, the next minute I've got fear. One minute I feel my little ones is going to be all right, the next minute I have the feeling that their lives are in jeopardy. One day I get up and I feel like that I'm strong and could wrestle a bear. The next day I get up and I have complex and I'll be weak. And I'll have some kind of feelings or something that causes me to misunderstand. And then I become alarmed and I say something is wrong with me. And a lot of the doctors of today, you go to them, all they do is encourage the situation. Amen, that's right. Hallelujah. Have you understand what I'm saying? One doctor will tell you to take this, and then you go to another doctor, he'll say, most assuredly, that will kill you if you take that. So you're in a greater complex. So you don't know who to trust. You don't know who to believe. One preacher will tell you one thing, and another preacher will tell you another thing. That's why God gives us His Word for an absolute. Not to believe the preacher, but the Word. If the preacher preaches the Word, then believe the preacher. But have no confidence in the flesh, have confidence in the Word. Hallelujah. That way you'll never be betrayed. Now, so then we are passing through the state of infancy. Now just give me a few more minutes and I'm gonna quit. Passing through the state of infancy. We are going through the land of Esau. You must pass through the land of Esau. Jesus said, as you pass through the land of Esau on your way to Canaan, be sure that you pay your way. Don't be a fly by night. Don't be a cheat. Pay your bills. Do your best to work, to labor that you might have to give to support the weak. Not just to give to evangelists. That's not the answer. But to support the gospel and to give to the weak and to give to the needy. So then, as we pass through the land of Esau, we are heading for Canaan. Is that right? Going to the land of Canaan. But we have to pay our way as we go through the land of Esau. This is his inheritance. God has given this world to him. It's for the flesh. But we have a greater program. We have a greater place. We have a greater world. A greater life without end. As we pass through this world, then we are stung from every side. I can go make a purchase and I'll wind up on the wrong end of it. The world loveth its own. You go make a purchase. If you are a Christian, you will wind up on the wrong end of it. They're going to sting you or take advantage of you before you get away. Because that's the land of Esau. The wicked of this world are taken into captivity at the very will and desire of Satan. They can't do anything else because he is their master. And when a child of God goes to have communication with the world or to do something with the world, he's going to wind up on the short end of things. You follow me? But if you'll just keep on, though they might double the load, though they might lay more stripes upon your back as the old man heads for Calvary, just keep on walking. And when you stumble and when you feel the complex of life and you feel problems, just keep on praying. Jesus said, watch. And then he said, pray. Just keep on going. And after a while, you'll pass through the land of Esau. After a while, you'll get what little you need, whether it's a home or whether it's a little piece of ground or whether it's a little comfort of life or whatever it is. And God advises us it's better just to have charity Amen. And do like the little widow and give our all to God and trust Him and let Him meet our needs and feed us day by day like He did the people in the wilderness. But nevertheless, if we choose otherwise, we have our little comforts and convenience through life. And Esau can't get at us anymore because we've paid our bills off, you understand? We're not in debt and we've done learned our lesson and we don't want to go buying things on credit and do this. And we've done lost sight of all the jingles and jangles of the world because we've done seen the sorrow that goes along with it. They that would be rich shall fall into many hurtful snares and many sorrows. Flee these things, O thou man of God, and lay hold on eternal life. Is that right? Get something that won't perish. After a while, we finally get through the land of Esau. And then we start enjoying the greatness of God. Is that right? But folks, let me tell you something. There is a way to enjoy the things of God while passing through the land of Esau. There is a way that we can have the wholesomeness of life while right in the midst of the land of Esau. While we are in the midst of trouble, as it was with the Hebrew children when they were in the fire, they still had the fullness of life. While Daniel was in the lion's den, he still had the fullness of life. Is that right? He had the fullness of life. Whether in the lion's den, whether you're in trouble, whether it's bills, whether it's sickness, whether it's poverty, whatever it might be, you can still have the fullness of life. Is that right? You can still have the fullness of life. Daniel, though he was in the lion's den, he was not troubled. He was not troubled. Daniel knew that God was with him. Daniel knew that God had made the mouth of the lion. Like one night I decided I was going to pray. I got my wife's dad to take me way back in the woods. I got over there by myself. I didn't want a knife. I didn't want a match. I didn't want anything. I got way up there in the woods by myself with God. And there I stayed all night long. And the mosquitoes, they would bite and I'd hear some moans and groans. And it got dark and it looked like that night was the darkest one of them all. But I was praying and talking to God, and the moans and groans didn't sound good. And you could hear everything, you know, in the grass. It was way up high like this. And you could just imagine all kind of things around. You know, the Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remembering that God will feed us the fruits of our thoughts. If we are fearful, then we'll feed off of fear. But if we are faithful, we will feed off of faith. You understand what I'm saying? And so then I just talked to God when the fears and complex of night began to set in. I said, God, I said, You made the snake. I said, You made the animals. And I said, You made the stars and You made everything. I said, now You're the one that brought me out here to pray. I said, now I come here to pray. And God, You prepared my heart because the preparation of man's heart is from God, whether good or evil. He creates both, has His way in both. I said, now, whether I'm here for my destruction, whatever You brought me here, God. And I said, now, Lord, since I'm here, I know that You made the snakes and You made everything else. I said, now, I want them to be at peace with me. I said, I want them to be at peace with me. I said, till the morning light breaks, I want peace with all of these. You prepare their hearts to be at peace with me. God prepared their hearts to be at peace with me. Everything become calm and everything was fine. I didn't have any more fear or worry. Why? If your ways please God, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you. It doesn't matter what they do through the land of Esau. They're not going to love you because the world loves its own. But no matter how much they cross you, no matter how much they do to you, then God will give you the victory. And remember this, when things begin to happen to you, there's something wrong, folks. You need to check up. You're giving place to the devil somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? You are giving place to Satan. If your ways please God, He didn't say that the enemy wouldn't rise up against you because of that. But He did tell us this, that if our ways please God, though our enemy come out against us, He will make him flee seven ways before us. Though our enemy rise up against us, God will make him to be at peace with us. Is that right? If your husband becomes your enemy, lady, because he is not faithful to you or because he will not serve God, God will make him to be at peace with you. If your ways please God. You understand that? If your wife is an enemy to you, sir, it's because you are not pleasing God. If you're pleasing God, God will make that wife straighten out if he has to tie her or not to do it. Amen. God will deal with her. And God will make her right. If you're having trouble out of your children, it's because there's problems. Come on, folks. It's because there's problems in your own spiritual life toward God. So then to have the fullness of life, we've got to have a clean heart. An unadulterated heart. A heart of faith and confidence in God. And then when we have this kind of attitude, everything works well with us. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. All right, now, let's say this and trying to close here just for a minute or two more. We pass through this state of infancy. As we pass through it, then it is a world of complex and trouble. But if we will be faithful, if we will apply ourselves, if we will look to God, if we will try to do what's right, treat our fellow man right, do everything that's within our power to study and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, after a while, the infancy of our pilgrimage will be over. And then when it is at an end, then we will find, Brother Fred, that things will straighten out for us. We will not be as we were before. We will not be that which everything can pray off of. We won't be something that everybody can take the advantage of. But we will be grown, strong, healthy, men of understanding. It's like a couple of fellows that came out to the campground the other day. They were giving us a little problem. Businessmen, very shrewd, you know. The children of this world are very wise, serpent-like. And they came out to the campground and they wanted to see me. They had wanted to talk to me over the telephone, and I have people that talk there, you know, executives that take care of that, so I didn't talk with them. So they come out, they wanted to see me. So when they come looking for me, because I didn't answer them over the telephone, they got some kind of idea, you know, that I was the kind of person that just hide off in the background and didn't want to talk with anybody. Whereas I really am like that as far as Christ is concerned. But when they came to the door and they said, "We're looking for somebody." I said, "You are?" They said, "Yes." I said, "We're looking for Reverend Pike." I said, "I'm Brother Pike." And they said, "Well, we're from such and such a place." I said, "Is that right?" And then it struck me. I said, "Where did you say you was from?" They said, "Such and such a place." I said, "Gentlemen, you are the people I've been looking for." I said, "I've been wanting to see you." And when I said that, their feathers went down. They began to shrink. They knew that I wasn't the kind of person that they thought, you know. And I began to open both barrels. And I began to preach the gospel, and I began to tell them the things of God. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. And when I got through, they started to raise up and say something. I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "God called me to preach to you and not you to preach to me." Come on, folks. I said, "I want to preach the gospel to you." So one of them got nervous and he reached in there to get a cigarette. I said, "You can't smoke on this campground." He nervously put it back. When I got through preaching the gospel, one went this way and one went that way. Amen. They left. Now, I didn't try to be ugly. I didn't try to be mean. But I let them know that I was not in the state of infancy. Hallelujah. We are not afraid of Esau. We are not in the states of infancy. We are not cruel. We are not mean. But we've come to understand that we own this world. Lock, stock, and barrel, this world belongs to me. Hallelujah. Like I told the top brass over in Fort Knox, Kentucky not too long ago. When I went into his office, they told me that I couldn't see him. Had to go through a chain of commands. I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be seeing the general." They said, "No, you can't do that." I said, "But I will." And I walked right through and walked right into his office and sat down. And he just stared at me. I said, "Sir, I want to say something to you." And I began to say something to him. And for a few minutes, he acted like that I was some kind of footstool, you know. But when I got through, I told him how that I was a son of God and I owned this thing. And we were allowing him to stay there for this little time, but he better straighten up, didn't the whole thing be taken away from him. And he was so shook up when I left that he did what I requested that he do. Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. You own this. You are the ones that owns this. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, there's a lot of things I could say to you this morning because my heart is enlarged to you. But I want you to know that you can have the fullness of life. You know, when you come into the knowledge of God and the understanding of God, you know who you are, you know where you're from, you know where you're going, and you know just exactly the extent of their ability and their strength to oppress you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you by drawing nigh to God. Is that right? By drawing nigh to God, then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember that we, in coming into manhood, womanhood in God, as a daughter or son of God, that we can differentiate between good and evil. The Bible teaches after you return, you will be able to discern between good and evil. The meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. When we come to this, then the Bible teaches he will arise with healing in his wings. So then we will grow up as calves in the stall. This is what I'm saying to you. That when we come out of the states of infancy, then we still feel the same spirits, evil spirits and good spirits alike. Some are fear, some are perplexities of life, some are bewildering spirits. We still feel them. But see, we're out of the stages of infancy. When that little child, as he grows up, he gets older, he has burned his finger on that heater. He doesn't have to burn his hand anymore. If he gets in the atmosphere of that heat, he starts backing off. He knows that's not the place to be. He knows just how close in to move to use it for convenience. And see, that's the way Satan is. He is in this world for our convenience. We can use him instead of him using us. We can use him as a stepping stone, coming to understand the infirmities of life and the weaknesses of others. We can use him to sharpen our wits for Christ Jesus, to be witty, to wit the redemption of our body. We can use him. See, the grinding stone is to whet the axe and to sharpen the axe. Isn't that right? It is not to damage the axe, but you have to lay it to the grinding stone if you are going to make use out of it. Otherwise, if it is dull, you'll have to put forth the greatest strength to try to accomplish your task. So then we can use that. And we come to a place to where we understand good angels are made ministering spirits unto us as we are heirs of salvation. They minister for us and they minister to us. I might be standing here and the angel of God encamp round about them that love the Lord. I might be standing here and that angel of God may tell me what's in your heart. Or tell me what's going on in your mind. He might convey your thoughts to me. Pardon me. Jesus said that he perceived their thoughts in his spirit. They are ministering spirits for me, and they might tell me things about you. Again, it might be different. It might be as it was when they were on the hillside, when the shepherds watched their sheep by night. When the Bible said the angel of the Lord came upon them, and a great light shined round about them. When they received the news of the great tidings of great joy that a Savior was born, that it was peace from God to them from the Lord Jesus Christ. That angel was strengthening to them. They were yearning and longing. They were in great travail, great stress of heart and soul and mind. And they were in great expectation that a prophecy would be fulfilled concerning the old time prophets, that a Savior would come and take them out of the midst of their troubles and conflicts. The angel of God strengthened them. The angel of the Lord came upon them. See, angels come upon us. Angels are lights that come upon us, that interweave themselves with us. They just go right through us like an x-ray. Whether good angels or whether bad angels, they come into our heart, into our lives, according to our believing. If I surrender my believing unto fear, then angels of doubt and despondency come in and cause sickness and trouble. If I surrender my heart and my desire and my thoughts to good angels, then the angelic beings of God come in with inspiration of life, and they give me good thoughts of faith and hope and inspiration unto health and unto happiness. And I receive strength and super perseverance from God to be able to go on. These angelic forces are all around us. They are guardian angels that watch over us because we are the little ones of God. And they are given charge over us to watch us. You know, they watch us. And I've said this a lot of times, you know, they might be looking at somebody down here. A person might be defeated and might be cast down and feel that they can't do anything. And they just feel they're the least of the least, you know. Like Gideon, he said, I'm the least in my father's house. I can't do nothing. I'm just a nobody. And he was over there just a quibbling and a grumbling and a mumbling and a going on and feeling like he was in despair and he was defeated. And here's the angelic being standing over here, mighty in power, standing, and he's looking at Gideon. And in his thoughts, it isn't like Gideon's at all. He's looking and he's saying, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon can't see anything but the defeat and the trouble around him and what the enemy has done to him. But here stands that angel saying, a son of the living God. How beautiful, how lovely. Look at Gideon. See, he wasn't seeing Gideon in that condition of defeat, but he was seeing Gideon as Gideon rose up and said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Hallelujah. He saw the day of the victory. when he held out that glittering sword saying, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Hallelujah. God doesn't just want you to say the sword of the Lord. That's not enough. But it's the sword of the Lord and Gideon. He wants people to know who Gideon is. That you are a son of God. Hallelujah. When he looked down there and he saw Gideon standing over there. Oh, thou mighty man of valor. He saw that sword raised and that champion of justice delivering Israel. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? And so then, we come to the place to where these angels minister to us. Jesus, after 40 days of supplication, when he was very weak, the angels of God came and ministered to him. And he rose up, and the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. And folks, as we go down through the valley of the shadows, David did to get those little stones, we might feel weakness and fear as we see the giant of opposition on the hillside. But we can come out of there with the victory. Come out of there with faith and with confidence and walk out of there toward the enemy and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Raise the sword and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to take a few minutes to pray for you. Just a few minutes to pray for you. I feel like praying for you this morning. There might be somebody that wants prayer. And I'm going to take a few minutes to pray for you. Now, I always sing a little chorus together. If you want prayer, you can come up. Brother Wilson was telling me last night there were some people here that had come for prayer. But we didn't attempt to pray for them because they were having a singing. But now, there might be somebody here still this morning that wants prayer. And if you want prayer, I'll pray with you. And I'll believe with you. And folks, as I live before God, if you'll lock arms with me, you'll shout the victory and you'll testify that God has healed your body as sure as I stand behind the sacred dead. Because He will heal you. He will heal you. Amen. It's God's word and it can't be broken. God will heal you. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? All right. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Have faith in God. Can you sing it with me? Oh, have faith in God. Sing it with me. Let's have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Sing it one more time. Have faith in God. Can you sing it? Oh, have faith in God. Let's have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. While they're playing on the organ, the piano here, if you'd like for me to pray for you, if you'll step out up here, I'll lay hands on you. We're not going to tarry long to hold up the service, but if you want to come, if you need prayer for your body and you believe in prayer for the sick, you come up here and I'll pray for you. And I promise you that if you'll come in faith, that God will heal you. I promise you that He will do it. If you want to be prayed for, just come on up and we'll pray for you. My brother came to me last night and he told me, he said, you know, my little grandbaby that was so sick, he said, brother, when you prayed for him, he said he got better and better and better. And I had a number of the brethren come to me and they told me, he said, my babies are sick. And I prayed and they prayed with me. And God healed them. And every one of them was healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus went about doing good, healing all. Isn't that right? It is God's will for every one of you to be healed, to be healthy. You say, but Brother Pike, I don't understand that. If it's God's will for all of us to be healed, why then are we not healed? Lack of faith. We do things that lets condemnation into our heart. We get under heaviness. But my brother, God wants you healed. My sister, God wants you healed. It's God's will to heal you. God doesn't want you to suffer. It's not profitable to God for you to suffer. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, look at Job. God wanted him to suffer. That's not true. It was not God's will for Job to suffer. But like I said, God was just letting Job feel the infirmities of the weak. That's all. Just to be a great Savior, he felt the infirmities of the weak that he might understand us. If we are called with such a great calling, should we not also learn to feel the infirmities of the weak? But brother, God doesn't want you defeated. God wants you to take the attitude that Job did. I will stand and see God for myself. See, God wants you to take the attitude of being a victorian over it. Hallelujah. To be strengthened over it. To master it. God wants to master the thing in your life. That you can stand up and say, listen, I was dying with a dreadful disease, but Christ healed me. And then others will take courage and you become a deliverer. That's what God wants for your life. Everyone that perishes, it is not God's will. It is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. Can you believe? Hallelujah. He wants prayer, and he's going to stand in the gap for his mother and wife. Is that right? Mother and wife. And I believe God will do something for them. Oh, they're weak. I tell you what, I believe God will do something for them. I believe it with all my heart. If you'll get ready in your heart, see, you've got to make a preparation. David said, my heart is fixed. The evil tidings shall not trouble me. With the heart, man believeth. Preparation of man's heart is from God. If you'll get ready in your heart, make a preparation. Believe what God said. Folks, you know, I wished I had time to preach you a sermon. I do from my heart. If I could preach to you today and get you to listen, you'd know that healing was for you. And you'd know that you have power over the devil. And you thoroughly understand that the devil couldn't do nothing to you. Amen. Except what you yourself allow him to do. My, what a great calling this is. All right, we're going to pray for this brother. And as I pray, I believe God's going to do something for him. How are you going to believe with me? Let's lift our hands up and pray for him now. Hallelujah. Father, hallelujah. I feel this brother's faith right now. God, I feel you healing those people. Amen, Jesus. I feel you doing it. Heal. Oh, hallelujah. Heal that person, oh God. Heal that mother. I feel you healing them right now. Heal that wife. In the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. I feel you doing it. Heal this brother. Give him victory. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe he done it. I believe he done it. I felt something. Jesus said, I felt virtue go out. I felt something. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for Brother Fred. God, I can see that Fred's life is filled with bewilderment. Lord, there's so many decisions to be made. There's so many things to be done. And God, he wants to serve you. He wants to obey you. But God, he's got to have strength. Hallelujah. God has got to have your power of direction. Father, this binding yoke, this dark veil of night that would hang over Fred, I expel it in Jesus' name. I call for the light. Father, you said, let there be light. And there was light. The light shined in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Heal this body. Heal it, Jesus. Give the power of decision. Give him the mind of Christ. Let him make the right decision. You're going to do it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Fred, I believe God's going to let you make the right decisions, whatever you're faced with. I believe that in my heart. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I was praying for this little lady last night. You know, a lot of times I'll be praying for you and you don't know about it. And I was praying for her last night. Sister Betty impressed her on my mind last night. And I was praying for her. And I said, Lord, I want you to do something for her. And she comes up here. She's got a real, you know, real fear of God. And she comes in expectation. And she believes if I pray that something will happen. Little tears is twinkling down her cheeks right now, you know. And I'm going to pray for her and something is going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. God, honor this little darling's faith this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Do it, Jesus.
Do it, Jesus.
From Calvary.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heal this little body. Give her the desires of her heart. I believe he granted it. I believe he granted it. Hallelujah. You want prayer for you or for the baby?
Both of them.
Father, I pray for this little one tonight or today. I pray, Jesus. Lord, because of Calvary, I pray for this mother. Oh, yes, Jesus. Father, touch this mother. Heal this mother. Oh, mighty God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give her the desires of her heart, Jesus, as we look away to Calvary together. Oh, God, coming boldly before the throne of grace that we might receive the help in the time of need. I stand in the gap for her. You're going to do it, Jesus. Hallelujah. To honor your precious word. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. I feel God answering prayer, folks. I do. From the bottom of my heart, I feel God doing something.
In Jesus' name, a stream is flowing.
You know, I want to pray for Derwin. Derwin's got a lot of faith. While he was up at Little Bethlehem one day, I asked him to do something, and I turned to check his spirit to see what kind of spirit he had. And he has complex like little ones do, you know. But he's got a wonderful spirit. God got something in store for this little man. Amen, that's right. And I really felt faith in his heart. And I want to pray for him. While he lifts his hand up, believe with me. I want you to pray with me.
From sin,
Jesus,
and shame.
Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The name of Jesus, Father. Do something in this little one's life. God, even as a youngster. God, we don't have to be grown. We don't have to be old. We don't have to be male. We don't have to be female. As long as we are a creature, you promise to do something. Hallelujah. I feel you're doing something for it. Let it be, Jesus.
A stream is flowing.
Calvary. Hallelujah. Because of Calvary. Heal. Break every yoke in the name of Jesus.
From sin.
Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In Jesus.
Father. Hallelujah. I believe, oh God. As I join my faith with Brother Leon Wilson. And with his companion. God, I see great things ahead. Hallelujah, the field is ripe unto harvest. Yea, who can I send and who will go for me, thou hast said. Father, these people, they've spoken. Here am I, send me. God bless them, supply their needs, Jesus. Heal this body. Let her see strength and let her see health. And let her companion be strong and be healthy. The mighty name of Jesus. Give them a great harvest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 Father, you see the humility of my brother's heart. He approaches with great caution, great concern. Father, hear me. Because of Jesus. Hear me because of Jesus. Father, because of Calvary. I know that you do hear me.
In the shadow.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. I speak healing to this body. And I speak deliverance to this soul and to this mind. And I plead the blood stains of crimson red that comes from Calvary. Father, cover this soul with the blood. Cover it. Awaken, arouse, awake something on the inside. You do it, Jesus, in your lovely name, Father. arouse something. Awaken it on the inside and heal this body. Strengthen this body. Anoint this man with your presence, Jesus. And let him do something for thee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Don't you love to say, I love Jesus? I love Jesus. Hallelujah.
And he's the only one who cares enough to standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail scars in his hand.
Just lift your hands up, Nita. Let's everybody pray for this request. Father, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Father, we bear glad tidings this morning. Unto us the Savior is given. A child God has given unto us. And the government is to be upon his shoulder. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. As I pray, hallelujah, I feel the yoke breaking. Change this life. Change the disorders of this life. Heal, mighty God. In the name of Jesus. Heal, save, and forgive. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I can feel the flow of Calvary this morning. Feel the richness of the great flow that's coming down from Calvary this morning. The wonderful touch of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I believe his mother loves Jesus. Father, though the road's been hard, there's been some bright spots along the way, Jesus. And she remembers them. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heal this mother. God, give her many days, Father. Let her be a light. Let her be a testimony. God, move every disorder of this life and bring about a great light, greater than ever before. Greater than ever before. Dear God, when Moses was 80 years old, Father, you made him the greatest light in the land. Make her alive, Jesus. Heal her body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be alive? Don't you want to be alive, folks? Glory to God. The day is growing dark, and God needs a light, and God's asking you to be that light.
Ask me not of gentle Savior.
She wasn't here last night, was she?
My humble.
Let's remember these requests. I want you to lift your hands with me. Will you do that? How many are you concerned? Are you concerned? Look, folks. This is why God doesn't do anything for people. If you're not concerned about the welfare of others, how do you ever expect God to do anything for you? It was Jesus that's concerned about humanity that caused God to pick him up and set him in the highest place that's ever been given to mankind. Be concerned. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you. You be concerned, will you? Hallelujah. I don't mean that as a rebuke, but an exhortation to you. Be concerned. Let Jesus shine forth in your life. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for this mother. Dear God, her heart is heavy, Lord, with request. Jesus, for those that are in the family. Lord, for her companion. For the welfare of their lives. I feel her faith in Jesus' name right now. Heal the spotty. Strengthen this faith, Jesus. God, help her and her companion to link arms, to be a testimony in a life such as they've never been in all of their lives. Help them to see the desire of their soul, Jesus, as their family comes to God. I'm asking you to do it. This prevailing yoke that would threaten this life, this soul, this family, I expel it. I felt that, didn't you? Glory to God, I felt the yoke break. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord, can we? Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We love you this morning. Hallelujah. I feel your presence, Jesus.
He's the lily of the valley, the bride.
Father, you've heard the request from this mother. And Father, she's in great expectation, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. Your people love you. They're looking to you, Jesus, not someone else. But they're looking to you. And I'm a helper of their faith. I want to help her faith this morning by assuring her the words of God cannot be altered. Thou hast spoken it. I feel you breaking the yoke. I feel you answering. Answer, God. Move the gloom. Move the sorrows of yesterday. Make the future bright. Send a little light from heaven in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
For surely there's a work that
Father,
I can do.
As I stand here before my brother, Lord, a heart that desires to do something for you. A yearning for release.
Lord, help.
Oh God, you can make him a great person in the gospel. You can make him a great instrument to mankind. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh. I feel your presence, Jesus. I feel your presence. Hallelujah. Heal this body. Bless my brother. Strengthen him in the lovely name of your darling son, Jesus. Hallelujah. I felt him do something special for you.
And even though it's humble, Lord, help.
Father, touch little Mitch in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch Jonathan in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch little Suzanne in Jesus' name. Touch Gracie in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, this brother has a back condition. And I believe you're going to heal it right now. Why not, Jesus? I have no reason to question your authority or what you have said. I have no reason to question this man's integrity. He's come as proof of his faith. So I join with him. I feel you doing it now.
Though the cross be great, Lord, I'll work for you. Without
oh God, I felt you heal that back, Jesus. I felt you heal that back. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe you heal that back. I really believe. I believe you'll see the difference, my brother. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Father, touch little David in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Can we? And then we'll let you go. I'll turn it back to our brother if you'll just sing a little chorus with me. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Sing it again, can you? Oh, we'll give all the glory.